This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And I want to welcome to the program, back to the program, Jack Carr, the author of the new book, The Devil's Hand. Hey, Jack, welcome back, my friend. It's great to have you.
Oh, so great to talk to you. I want to write more books every year just so we can connect and have a conversation, because I miss you. I miss talking to you.
I know. I miss our speaker series. I was just saying to Greg, my producer, I said, let's do another virtual speaker series together. Let's do it like we'll do it on the Zoom, you know?
Awesome. Might as well. I mean, yeah, we might be there doing some Zoom stuff for a while, so let's do it. I'm in.
All right. All right. We'll make it happen. So The Devil's Hand, James Reese is back. This is now your third book. I got to tell you, I love it. I am loving this book because you do such a great job of bringing these experiences that you've actually dealt with as a Navy SEAL, as a Navy SEAL sniper to life. And congratulations on this. And congratulations on the big news out of Hollywood. You're big time. Now, this is going to be a major television show, right?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. So they're filming right now, and Chris Pratt is starring, and Antoine Fuqua is directing, and it's an 8-part series for Amazon. But I was out there on set week before last, and it was pretty incredible to see 350 people working on a set from like 5 at night to 5 in the morning, and knowing that, hey, those people all have jobs right now because of this book. And it's the first series. The series is based on the first novel, but it ended up being like a reunion because I had about 12 SEALs, let's say, that I worked with in the teams, and a couple that I didn't know, all on set. So we had this big reunion out there, guys I've been to Iraq with and came up through the teams with, that are now working either as actors or as stuntmen or as technical advisors, and we're all there on the set together having a great time all week. So it was fantastic.
I love it. That's great. That is really exciting stuff. And yeah, it is pretty cool to think that your writing, which at one point was just a dream for you, has now led to all these people getting jobs to work on the show. I think that's tremendous.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. And I have so much, it's like a military operation. I mean, you have the logistics chain with people there with food, you have the armor, at the end of the night, you turn in your weapons and your blades and your night vision devices and all these things. So it's the whole thing is like a military operation. It was pretty wild to see.
Now you've written obviously four books now, right? This is your fourth book.
Excuse me, I said three.
Right. We didn't do a book series together for one of them though, but A True Believer, Terminalist, Savage Son, and now Devil's Hand, and we'll do a book series together for that one. That'll be great. This, you always warn about the dangers to civil liberties. You warn about government overreach. You also warn about the bad guys, of course. But I've always loved the fact that you've been really a defender of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. You write about these things. They're very important to you.
I do. It's very natural for me to incorporate them, particularly from my protagonist's point of view. And my protagonist is a former Navy SEAL sniper who becomes an officer at some point along his time in uniform there. And that's when the reader meets him in the first novel. But, it's very natural for me to get to know him through his perspective on what's going on in the world. There's these touch points that I use because people are familiar with them. It gives them a way to connect with this character who is fictional, but who has opinions on things. Because we all have opinions on things, and for me, if I read about someone who's in Los Angeles and has a pistol that has more than 10 rounds and it's carrying concealed, is he federal law enforcement? Is he local law enforcement? Because if he's not, he's probably not allowed to have that thing unless he has a concealed carry. Oh, he doesn't have a concealed carry. Then is he breaking the law? Has he thought about these things? So it's very natural for me to incorporate that and give people an education in some of these freedoms that unfortunately have been eroded over time and continue to be eroded today, to include, shockingly, the First Amendment, which growing up used to be the one thing that we could all rally around as Americans. And it's just so sad for me to see that that eroded, and to see people who used to be the first line of defense against anyone that wanted to infringe on that right, now actually encouraging that that infringement. So I'm talking about lawyers and people at newspapers and people at magazines and publishing houses, and politicians. It's shocking to me, and that'll definitely be a theme of future novels.
No doubt. And I love the in your prologue of The Devil's Hand, you write a very some ominous warnings I want to talk about, too. And you know, you say it's been two decades since 9/11. The book is not about 9/11, but it's been two decades since 9/11. The enemy has been patient. The enemy has been learning. The enemy has been adapting. The enemy is ready to strike again. And this is kind of the premise of your fourth thriller, which is getting amazing reviews. And I really do love, I'm sincere when I say I think it's your best work. Absolutely. It's you can tell how your writing has evolved. You know, I mean, it's great. You, Jack, kind of give a warning, though, about the fact that we're still fighting the same war we fought on 9/12.
This is true. This is true. We've been fighting a long-term war with a short-term strategy. We tend to think of things in terms of four-year election cycles, maybe eight for the real deep thinkers among us. But other countries are playing for that long game. And I outlined this book on the way to Kamchatka, Russia, in 2019, in August of 2019. I was going over there to do research for my third novel, Savage Son. And I left my computer behind, left my phone behind, because I didn't want Russian intelligence to either confiscate them or to walk through customs and have all these emails sucked out somehow. So I left that behind and outlined this in long form. And really, that was the question that I wanted to explore, was what the enemy has learned by watching us on the field of battle for the last 20 years. Because if you're Russia, if you're China, if you're Iran, if you're North Korea, a superpowered individual, a terrorist organization, if you've essentially been watching us play poker, looking at our cards and seeing how we're playing those cards and taking those lessons and applying them to future battle plans. So for me, when COVID hit, the enemy's learning from that. They're learning from our response to COVID. And so as I'm writing in real time, I'm in the enemy's shoes, which is the whole point of the novel, is to look at our country from the enemy's perspective. Then a summer of civil unrest hits. So they're learning from something from that as well. Then we have a very contentious political season and election cycle. Once again, they are learning from that. And then around this October, November timeframe last year, I ran into a problem. And because I'm looking at all this, now it's been over a year that I've been in the enemy's shoes as I write this novel. And I realized, you know, gosh, if I'm the enemy, I might just step back and watch us. We're doing a pretty good job of tearing ourselves apart from the inside. You know, they might just step back and watch this for a little while longer. So I had to solve that problem and come up with a reason for them to strike again.
Jack Carr is with me. He's the author of four thrillers, his newest one, Devil's Hand. And I've read all four of his books. He's a great writer. It's terrific stuff. You were described as being one of the best political writers of our time, and I think that that's true. And you have a character in this new book who is the president of the United States. Interesting. I'm not finished with the book yet. I know that there's a big surprise coming here, but the fact that you're writing now about Washington and sort of the inner workings of that, tell us about that.
Yeah, that's fun for me because being a politician is not something I aspire to be. And so it's something I don't quite understand. I mean, I understand service, of course, but putting yourself in that position and having to compromise your principles in order to get your job done, and then just all the everything that can happen to you once you get to Washington, it just seems like such an ugly thing to want to do. So for me, and being a Navy SEAL sniper, that's easy for me. I get to think about what that was like, and I get to take those experiences and the feelings and emotions behind those experiences, apply them to a fictional narrative. I get to think about kind of what skills that I have and then make my character be able to do them a lot better, whether it's boxing or jiu-jitsu or sniper stuff or you know, close quarters combat or whatever it might be. But for a politician, it's fun for me to put myself, try to create those characters, because It's something that I don't quite understand. So the president of the United States, and I outlined this in August of 2019, I make him a Democrat. I make him someone who lost a loved one on 9/11, and which changed the trajectory of his life. But it changed it for not just for, not for a reason that you might think initially. And he wants to get into the seat of power. So now it's 20 years later. He joined the military after 9/11, 10th Mountain Division, goes to Afghanistan, is wounded, comes home, makes a lot of money, and then gets into politics. But he gets into politics not to serve, and he really didn't go to Afghanistan just to serve. He went there because it was something that would propel him along a path to be the most powerful person in the world, so he could find out a little more information about who might have enabled 9/11 so he can get revenge.
Jack Carr, let me ask you, bioweapons also are a theme of the book. And, you know, when you look at coronavirus and you say our enemy's watching our response to this, I mean, I personally think, you know, lockdowns and shutting down the economy and all these things is a huge mistake. I think enemies look at that and they think to themselves, wow, all we have to do is we don't even have to kill a lot of people. We just have to come up with a virus that is very contagious, and they'll kill themselves by shutting down their country.
Exactly. That's one of the big lessons right there. When you look at the mortality rate from COVID-19, and then if you're the enemy, you think, oh, geez, look at this mortality rate. What if we had something that was just a little bit more deadly, or a lot more deadly? And there are quite a few different weaponized infectious diseases out there that put COVID-19 to shame. So the enemy realizes that, hey, look what they did for COVID-19. If we introduce something else that's just a little more virulent, a little more contagious, higher mortality rate, we can really do some damage here. And what did the enemy learn from 1979 to 2001? Well, they learned that proxies work. Look at Iran. Look at Hezbollah. Iran is behind Hezbollah and a lot of those attacks, yet they've suffered some economic consequences, but that's about it. So they learned, hey, proxies work. So what if we had a proxy to deliver this virus that looks like it's a natural occurring virus, and it has a mortality rate that's off the charts when compared to COVID-19. So that's, and I wrote that in August of 2019 before COVID even hit. So I got into the history of infectious diseases, particularly from the end of World War II up to today, what happened to the data and research behind the Japanese bioweapon program, the German bioweapon program, and that data and research helped inform the Soviet program and that of the United States. So it was fascinating research, which meant also that I was hypersensitive to it when COVID hit. So of course, I have to incorporate that into the storyline.
Well, listen, congratulations on Devil's Hand, your latest work, Jack Carr, and the fact that we're going to have an Amazon Prime television special based on your first book with Chris Pratt as the main character, James Reese. It's very exciting. Do you have a date yet about when this show is going to launch, by the way?
I think sometime in 2022, but not positive. Of course, if they give me one anyway, there's so many factors that can change it, but I guess sometime in 2022.
All right. Well, I look forward to our...
Hopefully about the same time the fifth novel comes out. That would be ideal. I'm trying to get them to make sure that it's the second Tuesday in April, if I can steer it anywhere.
Nice. The fifth novel. I love it. You don't stop, man. You're a machine.
Go, go, go.
That's right. Well, listen, we'll set up a virtual speaker series together. It'll be fun to see you, even though it'll be on the Zoom. But still, Jack Carr, get his book. It's everywhere. The Devil's Hand. It will not disappoint you. You're going to love it. Hey, Jack, thanks, buddy. It's great talking to you. And thanks again for all your service and, you know, making time for me. I appreciate it, pal.
No, thanks so much. And thank you for always standing strong for freedom.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.